Good morning, New Freedom Church.
Morning.
How's everyone doing today? Woo! You warm? No. Got your long johns on and all that other Under Armour stuff and whatever keeps you warm. Well, I hope you guys came this morning ready to clap, ready to shout, whatever it is that you want to do. And what I say, when you're excited, nobody has to tell you what to do, right? You just kind of go with it. So this morning, that's exactly what your orders are. Just go with it, okay? So this is an awesome time where people are going to be giving their testimonies. Some of us, for the first time, hearing stories from people that we've not heard before, and we're just going to hear how God has completely transformed and changed their lives and the mighty hand of God upon them, okay? So let's get ready to worship and to praise the Lord today. Oh, yeah. You guys stand up.
Amen. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
I am excited this morning about our service today. I've asked some folks to come up and share what God has done in their life. And, you know, whenever you start hearing testimonies, it starts to build your faith, doesn't it? It starts to get you excited about what God can do in your life. And it opens up possibilities of God's grace and His mercy and His strength in your life as well, knowing that God hasn't forgotten you. Turn to your neighbor and say, God hasn't forgotten you. He's got you on His mind right now. Amen. All right, listen, if you would turn with me to Psalms chapter 95. I want to talk to you a little bit about Thanksgiving. Not about turkey, but about Thanksgiving. Although turkey is really good, don't get me wrong, I like turkey, so. Turkey's awesome. All right. Psalms 95, verse 1 and 2, it says, come, let us sing with joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before Him with thanksgiving and exalt Him with music and song. Listen to this. It says, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before Him with thanksgiving and exalt Him with music and song. You know, whenever we have something to give thanks to and thanks about, we like to shout that stuff, right? Last night, my beloved Volunteers lost to Vanderbilt. And everybody didn't beat. So. Although they did beat some pretty reputable teams, whatever. All right. But what happened was, I was excited, and then at the end, I was screaming.
Now, it would be nuts if I was just walking around my house with no TV on, no music, anything else, and I just started screaming for no apparent reason. Dana would probably think I had Tourette's or something. And so, but I don't go around the house just at spur of the moment, well maybe I do every once in a while, and just scream or shout. That doesn't make any sense. So you have to have something to scream and shout about, isn't that correct? And last night when Vanderbilt won with like 15 seconds left, I was shouting in anger and frustration. But there has to be a point directed to what we're shouting about, amen? And so the writer of Psalms is saying, come, let us worship, let us exalt Him, let us shout with joy. See, our joy has got to have a direction, amen? And so whenever Christ comes into our life, that gives a direction for our joy to go to. Exalting His name. Now that exalting doesn't mean something solemn and quiet, does it? It means a people that are absolutely 100% freaked out about what Christ has done for them in their life. Amen? To the point we're celebrating, that we get beside ourselves. It's like I talked about a few weeks ago about King David and bringing the ark back into the city. And the Bible recounts that David threw off his kingly robe and he began to dance in the streets hysterically. Why? Because the presence of God was ushered into the place again. He had a point, a focus for his joy. He had a point and a focus for his exaltation, and that was to the presence of God, the Ark of the Covenant being brought back into the city again. He celebrated so much that his wife got on to him. He said, well, don't you just look dumb. And he said, I'll tell you what. He said, I'll look even more dumb before the day is over because my God is worthy to be praised. Amen? And so when we have something to direct our joy to, not things, not stuff, not temporal things, not things that'll burn up when the day is over, but something that is concrete, something that is steady, something that will never go away, and that is our Father. Amen? That is His Son who died for us, who rose again, who loves us with an everlasting love. Amen? That set a joy inside of us that cannot be contained. Now, I'm not talking about happiness, all right? Everybody elbow your neighbor and say, he's not talking about happiness. I'm talking about joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Sometimes whenever you get down, I'm going to use another southern term, okay? And you've heard it already, the mully grubs. Everybody say mully grubs. Mm-hmm. Some of you didn't say it. And I don't know why you did not say that. You're being rebellious today, okay? Everybody say mully grubs with me. Now, sometimes when you get down in the pits, all right, and you get to where there's no joy, you feel like there's no hope, there's no direction for your life, there's one thing that we can always look to that brings us up out of that miry clay, out of that dark place, and that is Jesus. Because see, if you can't be thankful for Jesus, then something's not right. Because if it's Jesus plus any other thing, it's not good enough. It has to be Him and Him alone. Amen? And so when you think you have nothing to be thankful for, be thankful for Christ who saved you, who set you free, because we were condemned to die. We were condemned to be judged already. But Christ came in and set us free, gave us hope, and gave us a future. That's what our Savior has done for us. Amen? And so today is nothing but a celebratory day. Say that five times. Today is nothing but a celebratory day because we want to focus on what God has done for us throughout this year. I've talked to several people and asked them if they would give testimony about what God has done, some things that they've been praying about and saw God do over the course of this year. And so as we give testimony and as they come up and give testimony, they're going to sit down. We're going to stand up. We're going to worship God again. We're going to have another person come up, give testimony. Then we're going to stand up and worship God again. Does that sound good? Does that sound good? All right. Hallelujah. This morning, I want to start with a board member and his wife, Tim and Heidi Blattner. If you guys would come on up, I've asked them to give testimony and tell what God has done in their lives. So you guys give them a hand as they come on up. Come on up.
Do I have to say anything? No. Well, I'm just going to talk about our journey because not everybody knows our story. So we were married a few years and we decided that we wanted to start a family, and nothing happened for a few years. So my doctor suggested that maybe we should go see a fertility specialist. And they did all these wonderful tests and we found out we had less than a 3% chance of conceiving on our own. So we decided that we were gonna go ahead and do in vitro. So was it last March? We did our first round and we got pregnant. But then the day before Tim's birthday, we found out the baby didn't have a heartbeat. So we were going to celebrate today that that baby would be 1 year old because it would have been due around Thanksgiving time. So I was in a deep, dark pit for a while because it was tough. But God surrounded me with a lot of ladies to love on me and help that restoration process. So So God healed all the parts down there, so we were very hopeful, and we were going to try again because God said he was going to give us a baby.
Mm-hmm.
So we did it again in August, and 10 days later, we knew we were pregnant. That was with Miss Brindley. And we had many, many ultrasounds just to make sure everything was good, but every day the devil kept telling me that she's not going to make it, she's not going to make it. So I had to tell him that he was a liar, and yes. God told me that I was going to have a child.
Amen.
So on May 6th, this little stinker was born at 9:22 in the morning.
Yeah, and part of my backstory on this is when we were going through this process the second time, you know, just sometimes you need encouragement from others, and Heidi was pretty freaked out the second time when Brindley was being born. She came to me and said, I don't think we're going to have a child, because she saw some spottiness and things like that. But she believed that God was going to give us a child, and she said he's going to give us a girl. And I said, when she was crying, I just said, if God promised it, I know it's going to come true. And so we just stood on that, and you know, because God is so faithful, here she is today.
Yes.
And a little bit about my story is I was adopted as an infant, and have the most wonderful family that I could ever imagine. I mean, I've been blessed ever since birth, and God's just been awesome. And the biggest thing to me is I've never known any flesh and blood. You know, I have my great family, but, you know, there's just always something that was somewhat missing. Like, I just wanted to know somebody that acted like me, seemed like me. And it's amazing. Every single day when I look at her, there's just little things that I pick up. I mean, just from her little weird toe to you know, other things, and it's God is so faithful beyond, you know, anything we can imagine, and it's just a miracle. And so then we also have one other.
So we talked about having another child someday, but I told him there's no way that I'm ever doing this again unless it was an act of God. So I'm like, well, why not? We can adopt the next one, then you can be for surely given a boy, right? We'll just say I went to the doctor on Wednesday, and we're expecting our second child in June. So, surprise, surprise!
Hallelujah. Everybody stand up. Come on, let's stand up this morning. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, amen. That's quite some news, right? Hallelujah. Well, Lord, we just thank you so much that you were doing the impossible. What man said could not be done, you said can be done. And so, Lord, we thank you so much for this child that is brewing now, and we thank you so much that you are causing health, vitality in Jesus' name. We thank you that your hand is upon this family. And God, we just bless them in the name of Jesus. God, they are so well loved in this church. We love them. And we bless them and this new child in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You guys give God a hand clap of praise this morning. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you that your love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out on us. Your love constantly flows through us and with us. Thank you that your love never, ever fails. I thank you, Father, that so many times you could have given up on me. But Lord, because of your patience and your kindness toward us, Lord, we now serve you with great joy in our hearts, knowing that your love never fails. Hallelujah to your name, Lord. Amen. Amen. You guys can be seated just for a minute. Psalms 100, verse 1 and 2, 4 and 5 says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name, for the Lord is good and His love endures forever. Amen? Amen. Well, this next couple I've asked to come up is Jonathan and Jillian Hines. So would you guys come on up? You guys give them a hand as they come. Amen. Here you go.
I don't know where to begin with this. In the last year, John and I have a lot to be thankful for. We hit a really hard spot in our marriage. I was about to give up, walk away. However, through a lot of prayers, a lot of friends who are with us, who stuck with us, who helped guide us, giving us prayers, giving us counsel, we made it through that really hard spot. And thankfully today we're stronger than ever. And I'm gonna turn it over to him because I'm gonna cry.
Yes, with what we have gone through, I myself was doing everything in my power that I knew of to try and make things work. And until I realized that it wasn't me to be able to do that, it wasn't gonna happen. Through coming here and getting to know all of you, praying for us, standing up for us, being there, someone who isn't a person to judge us and let God do the mending that He needed to do for us is something I can never repay. I'm so thankful for that. After we started coming here and the praying and realizing how important that is, does get answered. When we do it ourselves and with the other people, it's just absolutely amazing, and only God can do that for you. I'm glad to be here, up here today with all you guys. You guys mean the world to me. You are the best family I've had, and I can't thank you guys enough for that.
Amen. All right, let's stand back up and give God some praise for that. Amen. Yes. We're going to get some calisthenics in today. Amen. The Bible says in Psalm 7:17, it says, I will give thanks and thanks to the Lord because His righteousness, because of His righteousness, and will sing praise to His name, the Lord Most High. Amen. So the next person I want to bring up to you is Jimmy. He has the same name as me. I really like that name. So, Jimmy, come on up, brother. Y'all give him a hand as he comes. Come on around this way.
Oh, yeah, are we supposed to start one of these? Oh, I was born in Kewaunee. Grew up there my whole life. Grew up going to Lutheran church. Then I went to college at UW-Whitewater, where during my freshman year was in the party scene and whatnot. But throughout that whole time, I was going to CRU as my church thing to do, or Campus Crusade for Christ, and now CRU. I don't know. I don't agree with the name change, but that's minor details. So then, throughout that whole time I was going to CRU, my sophomore year at the beginning, I went twice. And the second time I heard about a fall retreat that they're putting on. So I put that to the back of my mind because it was homecoming weekend. And what do you do on homecoming weekend? You party. So I did Thursday night, really bad, and I woke up the next morning with a hangover, but everybody else went home. All my friends and stuff were going to go out and party. So I'm like, well, I have nothing better to do. So I went to the retreat, and there I started following Jesus, and that was six years ago. But throughout that time, I got more involved with crew, and through crew, one time during my senior year, I volunteered for a weekend of Winter Extreme at Camp Timberly down in East Troy, which is where I got my first introduction to camp ministry. But during that last semester of my senior year, I was applying for jobs within my major of finance, but nothing was coming back. They all wanted more experience. So I'm like, well, let's apply at camp, spend the summer doing ministry, and then go back home and job search. So I did that. I worked there the summer, and during that summer, then I started talked to the internship program director there. I did the internship as well during the fall, winter, and spring, to where that next winter, then I was helping to run our program of Winter Extreme with my fellow interns. So I did that, and then I worked there the next summer doing being summer staff. And then my contract ended, and I moved home to be under my parents' roof again for the first time in, five years, which is different because the last time I lived underneath their roof, I wasn't truly following Jesus. So it's been interesting. It's been, within a month of being done at camp, I got a job offer, or part-time job at Quick Trip, where I've been the past 2 years. But it's been very taxing and very stressful and makes me complain a lot to myself. But it says in Philippians 2:14 to do everything without complaining or arguing, which is really tough to live up to, but you have Jesus. So I also, when I moved back, got to be, I had a dog named Buddy, which is good because during the past 5 years when I was away at college and at camp, I barely saw him except for like Christmas break or spring break or whatever. I was able to be with and take care of him again. But this past summer, he passed away. And that was the thing, was like I wanted to be there to take care of the dog that I really didn't take care of, but my parents did for 3 years. So he passed away. So in this fall, then I really jumped up my job search efforts. I had been here and there throughout the past 2 years, to where I applied for this naturalist position, which is an outdoor education instructor, at a camp in California back in August. But then I got an email saying, oh, they had just filled their final spot. So I'm like, all right. But they'd be hiring again he said the end of November, but that was the end. So I've been continuing to work there. Then the end of October hit, I got a call, had an interview with this camp for this position. And then the next week at the end, probably the end of October, I was offered a job out there. And the next week, after praying through it more, then I accepted it. So, praise God that I have a job apart from Quick Trip, and where I'll be doing ministry, and just being able to teach kids, all that stuff. So I move out there. My first day is January 6th. I move out there the end of next month. So, yeah.
Well, I know that Jimmy had been praying a long time and was kind of frustrated about different camps that he had applied to. And so when I got the news that he got hired, I thought, man, you got to testify what God has done. And that just goes to show you that do not give up. When you believe God has called you to do a specific thing and he's put it in your heart to do, you didn't put that in your heart. God put that in your heart. It's just like whenever I was wanting to be a pastor and things just were not working out for a long period of time for whatever reason, I said, Lord, you put this in my heart. I did not, all right? I wasn't even looking for this, but this is what you gave me, and so I'm going after you. And because of persistence and because of believing, God was faithful, amen? And so there's something to be said about persistent prayer. Sometimes we think, well, I prayed and nothing happened. Well, you just prayed once, okay? Pray again until something happens in your life, amen? Block out what anybody else says. Block out every opinion of everybody that loves you and means well that are hurting you. Block out those things and say, Lord, you placed this in my life. I did not. And so I trust you to fulfill your word in my life, amen? Bible says in Psalms 28, I love it what the Bible says. Amen? Not what anybody else says, but what the Bible says. I think we get in trouble sometimes when we take too much stock in what other people say. Yes. If we take too much stock in what other people say, then the will of God will never be fulfilled in your life. Because you'll have people tell you, you can't do that. You'll have people say, that's not sound financial planning. You will have people say, that is not going to benefit your family or you financially whatsoever. But I love it when a believer leans on what the Bible says instead of what man says. Amen? So the Bible says in Psalms 28, verse 7, it says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him and I am helped. My heart leaps for joy, and I will give thanks to him in song. Now, the next couple that I have coming up, you guys know them, Mike and Mary Whistler. They like to whistle a lot, so
that's right.
Come on up here and whistle while you work. Come on up. Y'all give them a hand as they come.
I don't know how Pastor Jimmy thinks the Whistlers can ever do anything in 3 minutes. So we're going to have to take some liberty because we're the oldest couple in the church. So we'll be done by noon. Okay. Mike just wants to start out with a verse and then I guess I'm...
We've been here 11 years. We've seen a lot of changes go through this church. And we feel that the enemy has really had an attack on this church and relationships and marriages. Since Jimmy and Dana have taken over and Gerald's been here, he's witnessed a great deal of attacks in my life and victories. And we were in a similar situation with our marriage recently, and I want to make that. As I heard from God, as I left the house and slept out in the car, he said, if you want me to break the curse off of your life, you need to stand up and be a man and face the demon and stop listening. We pursued that with counseling from this church and friends and the lies. And I told the enemy, you're not taking my family or me down. I just want to read a scripture. Um, this scripture reveals a great deal with MJ, our son that's adopted. He knows all the truth now, but I'll let Mary tell it. But let me read the scripture. This is the message in 1 John 1:5. This is the message he has given us to announce to you. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. So we are lying. We're lying if we say that we have fellowship with God. But go on and live in spiritual, and go on and we just live in spiritual darkness. And many of us have done that. I have done it, and I paid a dear consequences, but I'm redeemed, I'm restored. My family is. Sure, there's going to be trials, but we are not living in the truth, it's saying. In spiritual darkness, and then we are not living in the truth. But if we are living in the light of God's presence, just as Christ is, then we have fellowship with each other. And the blood of Jesus is, the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from every sin.
My sister's here today. I asked her to come. She doesn't know what we're going to talk about or anything. So sorry, Liz. But I'm so glad that she's here. I'm not pregnant, so I... Although I wish I could say that. We became parents at age 47 and 50. So you've got to know how special our son is to us. He's adopted, and it was a true miracle of God. And some of you know the story. Others that don't, we'd be glad to sit down with you for a couple hours and tell you it. It was a very open adoption. And we kept in constant contact with the mother, which is really neat. As a matter of fact, the day that Michael was adopted, we told the judge we were adopting her also. So it's kind of like adopting two children in one day. But a month ago, Michael Joseph, MJ, Miracle from Jesus, was acting kind of weird kind of toward me, just kind of really acting out, and just some rebellion and stuff that I'd never seen in him before. And I thought, well, I don't know what this is all about, but it was obvious something was really bothering him. And I had to switch pages, my first page, not my ghost. So this is kind of really a story of freedom from a secret and God's faithfulness through his whole life. It was November 4th, which is my sister's birthday. We were getting ready for bed, and about 10:30 at night, I was tired. I just wanted to go to bed, and he just started just angry, really, really angry, which is something that I don't see from him very often. He says, "I want to know who my birth mother is. I want to know. I got to know. You guys are keeping a secret from us. I want to know now." And, you know, I always knew, he knew the story of his adoption all along. When he was adopted, about a year and a half ago with Ron LaFave, we told him, and he was fine with it, no big deal. He kind of knew he was adopted, so he knew that. And he was fine with it, but there was always this piece, I think, that he was missing. We knew that the Holy Spirit would guide us and give us peace when the time was to come. And I think I was always thinking, but I don't want the time to come. I don't want the time to come yet, because I think there's always a piece of fear. Is how is he going to react? Is he going to reject you? And I didn't think he would, but I knew the Holy Spirit would give us peace. So anyway, 10:30 at night. So I'm saying, okay, Michael, I understand. It's fine. But really, it's 10:30 at night. Daddy and I want to talk to you about this, and I don't want to do it now. Well, we were leaving the next morning. I had to go to Fort McCoy to work with one of the cadets there, and so we were going to leave in the morning, and I thought, he agreed to wait till morning, and I thought, well, maybe he'll forget all about it. Well, first thing he did when he got up, so I said, okay, let's just get on the road. So about 8:15 in the morning, we get in. Mike sat in the back seat with him, and we just started talking a little bit about his adoption. We pulled over by Luigi's Pizza, and we told him Her name is Kara, and he's known Kara all his life. As a matter of fact, we were just down there for a week visiting her. And one of the things, how God really completes circles and kind of has a sense of humor, is Dana was in Sunday school with her. And Kara's mother, Michael's birth grandma, was her Sunday school teacher. Yeah. So, I mean, it's just how God is just, he just completes that circle. So it's just really good. So anyway, we sat down and we told him, we said, it's Kara, the lady that lives in Kentucky. And he just bawled. He says, I am in such shock. He says, I am just in shock. And he bawled and bawled and bawled. And I said, Michael, you mean you didn't even have an idea? He said, no, he didn't have any idea. So then we talked to him and told him again how special he was. And we told him the whole story again and how God had given us as his family and stuff. And he just stopped crying. And I said, are we okay? He says, yeah. And Mike says, you want to call her? He says, no, I'll talk to her in person. So we proceeded to go down the road, and Mike spent about an hour with him. They just read through the Bible and did some scripture and talked, and he was fine. And but I got to tell you something. His eyes and the relief in him to find that peace that he was missing, it was like he had been delivered from a lie. And it gave us so much freedom that now we can say, yeah, this is your birth mother. She loved you and blah, blah, blah. And I just can't, nothing can come wrong with it. From it at all. And it was just kind of like, okay, I know, fine, you know. But I got to tell you a little story because it's just kind of cute. We went down there, and I went and did my stuff at Fort McCoy, and we came back, and there was a water park there, and the Ho-Chunk tribe is there, and there was a wonderful family there. They were having a birthday party, and they played with Michael, and they took him in, and played in the pool and stuff, and so we went back to her room, and on the way to the room, this is kind of how Michael puts things in perspective. He says, this has been a great day. I found out Kara is my birth mother, and I made friends with Nini. Oh, there he goes. He just walked in, and now he's embarrassed. So you might want, that's the part he had to walk in on, you know. So anyway, it is just so much freedom. It's closure, and it's fine. And ever since then, our relationship, it's just like this. I mean, we just, it is. Because that piece was, and it happened to be about the mother, so that's why he was after me. So, praise God. And I tell you what, he is so good. I just listened to all your testimonies, and oh man, he is just good.
So I'll finish with this. The truth does set me free. I realize that, and I've had good brothers in the Lord here that said things and come along my side and said, you bought a lie, you believe a lie. My dad left when I was born. And I said, listen, I'm going to be, I told the enemy, I'm going to be the father that never was.
Amen.
So after we did all this, I get a call on October 16th, my birthday, from overseas. And it's Ron LaFay saying, I can use your help over here. So I'm going back on the 30th, Lord willing, with Ron for 6 weeks to work with him until Amy comes along his side. So I need your prayers and support, and just thank you that God, when he did lay everything out on the table, he opens those doors. I've been over there when Mike was born in 2002, and was the most frightening thing for me. I just had a son. I went over with them. It's not a mockery, Ron. And then I was there in 2003 or 2004 again.
Yeah.
In Myanmar. And I know my calling the first time I got off the plane that this is what I was called to do. So there's no, it's just what, I have a real peace that's what I'm to do with the rest of my life. Mm-hmm.
So
amen.
If anybody wants to do anything with Michael and I during that time, just call.
Well, let's pray over you before everybody. Let's stand. And I got news for you, Mike. Huh? No, you can stay. So I got news for you, Mike. You are a good dad. Amen. And so let's just pray over them. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for what you've done in this family. I thank you, Father, for the opportunity to to go to Vietnam, and I asked, Lord, that you would prepare the finances, that you would, Lord, prepare him physically for long days, an emotional trip as well. Lord, would just prepare him for spiritual attacks. We just undergird him in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, to stand beside him, putting our shield of faith next to him in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for giving Mary and Michael grace as Mike is gone. We pray, Father, your hand of protection upon them and their family. Thank you, Lord, for restoration and adoption. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You guys give God a hand clap of praise this morning. Hallelujah. Psalms 35, verse 18 says this, I will give you thanks in the great assembly. Among throngs of people, I will praise your name. So the next couple that I want to bring up is a newly married couple, Jason and Tina Honkinen. You guys come on up.
This, I guess, has been pretty nerve-wracking, what we're going to say. I guess I can start with, I was born and raised in First Assemblies of God Church as a kid. And loved the Lord very much when I was a kid. And as I grew older, I started hanging out with the wrong people. And I started falling away, I guess. And I always had that, love for Jesus in my heart, but it was hard to come back, and I got a lot more now, or it's easy to come back now, I guess. And it's just nice having them. I feel pretty blessed right now. I'm pretty blessed to have a very loving family. So. Prayer works. And, I guess I think to myself, like, now it's my turn to pray for everyone else. It's amazing. So, God's given us a lot lately. So, here's my wife.
I just want to say I grew up in Catholic Church, baptism, First Communion, Confirmation, everything. I always thought that I was going to get married in a Catholic church. My husband was going to be Catholic, everything. I felt like after my mom passed away when I was 10, I felt very far away from the church. There was a period of time where I actually thought that I was hanging with my neighbors where their mom was, the world is ending, gotta save yourself now. And I was really into that, really didn't believe it, just kind of fell away from it. I constantly blamed God for my mom's death for years. And finally, I wanted to go back to church. I was so grateful when Sarah Wartz asked me to come to Bible study. I feel so much at home here. I'm so grateful to worship. And I actually am reading the Bible. I finished Genesis. I'm so proud of myself.
It's just we feel extremely blessed, and the Lord is our future, so we're happy to just be
able to grow together. Not a lot of people have that, and when you got that, it's really something to cherish.
That's right.
That's about it.
You know, when I first, I didn't meet Jason first, I met Tina first. And Sarah asked if I would be willing to counsel, do some marriage counseling for a friend of hers. Her name was Tina. And I said, sure, I love that. And it was, you know, one of our favorite things to do is premarital counseling, and it's very interesting. And so she came in very, you know, kind of not knowing what to expect, and we wound up talking for about an hour and a half, our first visit. And I asked her to come to church, and just so she could kind of see who I am and what I'm about. And she was very kind of standoffish about it, and she came and one Wednesday night, and then she started coming on a regular basis. And then I asked her to come on a Sunday morning, and she was like, oh, I don't know about that, you know. And Jason came along with her on one Sunday morning, and then just to see the progression of how they're growing in the Lord, it makes a pastor really proud. And to look, you know, every once in a while I'll kind of peruse around the audience and just watch everybody worship the Lord, and to see them with their hands up and worshiping God like nobody's watching is just a blessing. And so don't you love these kind of testimony services? Let's all stand back up and let's give God some glory this morning. Amen. Psalms 107 says, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Amen. The next couple that I have coming up today is Tony and Rebecca Rialli. And I wanted them to come and share with you. Tony and I have spent some time together just talking, and I painted some of his studio this week and got to talking about how God has really touched his life and his business and family and so forth. So you guys come on up and share what God's doing in your life.
I was in one of those positions where I didn't know what I was going to do. I'm, you know, there's something I wanted to do, but I had a video production company that I've been operating on my basement for a couple of years, and I didn't have any expectation behind that because it was coming in maybe a job every couple months or something like that, nothing that would support my family. But literally the week right after I was let go, I started getting phone calls out of the blue. You know, I wasn't expecting any. I didn't change anything. I didn't do anything different. It was just I started getting regular business, and this started happening for a couple months. And I was able to now focus. I knew where to focus now. You know, I got it. Started giving me a direction of where I should really be looking. And I attributed it to God because I didn't do anything. And so a few months in, I started realizing, like, if this is really going to grow, that I needed to get a studio. And I had a couple business partners that I was talking to, and they all said, well, that's a great idea, but we don't have any regular business to guarantee paying for a studio. You know, that's kind of a bad business idea when you don't know where your money's going to come from to now increase your expenses. But I was praying about it. I'm like, this is the only way we can expand, and I really feel like God is pushing me into it. And we all prayed about it. We're all business partners. We're all Christians. I prayed about my wife. We felt this is a leap of faith that we need to take. And I'm kind of reminded of the story of Elisha with the woman and the jars of oil. And Elisha said, all right, this is what I'm going to do. This is what God's going to do. We're going to get as many jars as you can, and then that's how God's going to provide for you. Now, in the story, the woman got as many jars as she could. She poured out the oil and filled all the jars. But when there were no more jars left, the oil ran out. And I started thinking about that. I'm like, I don't want to limit the number of jars that I'm going to have for myself, for my family, for my business. If I'm going to get a bunch of jars, I'm going to get a lot of jars. And I'm like, okay, then God's going to fill them up. So we moved into our studio space, and I remember one of my business partners, Jimmy's, we're rolling paint. He's like, I don't know where the money's coming from. We're rolling paint on the walls. We're going to do this. And it just started happening. I mean, you know, God was blessing us. We were able to pay the first month's rent and still have enough to pay our mortgage. And, you know, things like that were starting to happen. And, you know, I mean, if you were to come in there now, it looks, we've been able to grow. We've even expanded. A month ago, we expanded into another suite, so we doubled our studio space. And it's cool as a business to see that growth. But individually, the challenge is still there for me, because I don't know where my next paycheck's coming from. And so, you know, there's tithing and offering. And from a financial standpoint, you say, okay, pay all your bills, and then now let's talk about the other things that you can expand from that. But I knew that wasn't God's command. I knew that wasn't the place in my life. So for me, I was always saying, all right, you know, tithe and offering, we put that here, and then, all right, this is how many bills we're gonna be able to pay on this check. And then I don't know when the next one's coming. And with that mentality forward, we've been putting, you know, we would tithe first, we would give our offerings, and then all of a sudden, jobs would come out of nowhere. I'd get a call on a Friday night for a job on a Monday morning. I would get a check arriving in the mail that I was not expecting at all. And to be able to see that on a consistent basis, I mean, the reason I'm up here is because I had a story this past week, and I was able to share these with Jimmy, and I kind of, it's just, I think you get to the point where you're like, okay, what's the newest story? Because it's such a consistent thing. I live in a constant state of faith, and it's really energizing. In that, it's always challenging. I mean, even this past Friday, I mean, one of the reasons I was a little not even sure if I was going to get up here is because we had a financial strain that I wasn't expecting that really put a huge burden on us, and I'm only a day into it, so I'm not sure exactly what we're going to do, but it's one of those things, I'll praise you through the storm, you know. This is going to happen, and then we're going to move past it. And so, of course, Rebecca gets to see all of it, and I praise God that she has the faith that to be able to support me through it.
Amen. Our families think we're crazy.
What?
Everybody, you know, most people live in a, you know, place of security, and you have a budget, and you have, you know, I was like, what can you do? Can you form, and like, you can't have a formula for us. So it's definitely, like he's saying, a seed of faith. It's just day by day, you know, just trusting the Lord. And what Jimmy said before, where it's like God puts things in your heart and gives you gifts, certain, you know, gifts and talents, and you just got to walk forward in those things and know that God created you for that purpose. And I know Anthony and I feel very strongly that, you know, I believe in him and what God's put in him. He's a holy anointed man of God, doing what God has gifted him. I'm just amazed every day at his brilliance. But it's from the Lord. It's that wisdom that God's given us. And we just got to trust, you know, that he's put it in us, and we just got to keep walking seed faith, you know, little baby steps at a time. So, yeah, that's but right. Our families think we're crazy.
Amen. Now,
I think they're like, what are you guys doing?
Rebecca, now you also do something as well on the side. What do you do?
Yeah, I do photography on the side as well. So that's actually what brought us together in our marriage, because we were kind of into the same thing, and I was like, teach me everything you know. And so we started hanging out based off that. And so he's a wonderful photographer as well, but he does more of the video-based stuff. So we're kind of in the same vein, the creative, you know, thing that we like to do together. But yeah, I shouldn't take up more time.
No, you're fine. Go ahead.
When was I editing? Was that yesterday? Okay, that was yesterday. That seems like a long time ago. And I'm just excited to see what we're going to do together. I just feel like there's like a ministry or ministries that we're going to be involved in, him video, me photography. I just feel a call to missions I always have, and maybe not necessarily long-term, but short-term, and or not just missions out of the United States, but here in the States, you know, of just photography and the video potential. And right now we just have really young kids, so that's kind of our focus, but I'm excited to see what God's gonna do in the nonprofit organizations that we're gonna be able to work with. I feel like that's in our future. I'm really excited. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden it just kind of blasted me. I was like editing photos yesterday, and I'm like, I see like us out there like benefiting, you know, the church, the body of Christ, all over the place. And I'm really excited about that.
Amen. So,
I texted him. I'm like, yes. Have you ever thought about this? He's like, yeah. You know, so, someday.
So, one cool blessing, too, is you know, I've never felt the calling to go on missions, per se, but I've felt the calling to support missions. You know, there's people that go and there's people that send them.
And I felt that that's where God really pushed us. And we've had the cool blessing, even in this past year, to be able to work with specific missionaries and help them through photography, through video. I'm even talking right now to go to Africa in 2015 and do a video project for a well drilling ministry. So, I mean, all my business partners are Christians too, so we were able to say, all right, we're going to give away this project, or we're going to do it at cost or something like that. And it's cool to be able to do that and say, yes, I can support my family out of this, but I can also do stuff that I wouldn't be able to do by myself.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you, Tony and Rebecca. You know, it's amazing what happens when you allow God to do something through you. And stop saying, God cannot do anything through me because I'm too messed up, I'm too broken, I'm too jaded, I'm too cynical, I'm too this, I'm too that. Enough is enough. And so whenever we say, Lord, if you can use my camera, if you can use my paintbrush, if you can use my hands, if you can use my mouth, if you can use these quirky talents for the glory of God, then who am I to say that you can't? So Lord, here I am, use me. Use me, Lord. So thank you, Tony and Rebecca, for that. I want to hand out, we didn't do this last week because I wanted to wait till this week. How many of you guys enjoyed the baptismal service? Wasn't that awesome? It was so good. And so we have some folks that got baptized that we want to give certificates of baptism to. So ladies, would you come up? Come forward. Where's Paige? There you are. Paige, there you go. Congratulations. Brittany? You guys just hang out just for a second. Brianna? Man, you guys came right in order, didn't you? And Rachel? Congratulations. Let me have your... Would you guys like to say a word or just... That's Pastor putting you on the spot again, right? If you don't want to, that's fine. Anybody? No? Anybody? And sold. All right. Give them a hand, you guys. The cool thing about that is, here, and especially here, the South is different concerning baptism. There's not a lot of Catholicism there, and so there's not a lot of baby baptisms, and so baptism here means a completely different thing. And so whenever someone gets baptized, I always want to make an effort to speak to them personally on what baptism means. And so I got together with them over Dean and Bridget's house, about 3 or 4 weeks ago or so. And just talked to them about what baptism meant and if they wanted to do it. And man, they're like, yeah, I really want to do this. And so they brought their families, and their families came from, 3 hours or better away. And I just was praying for your family as well, that they would just sense the presence of God and that they would be touched by the service. And some of them told me, and I can't remember which family it was, but said, I've never been to anything like that. That was pretty cool. And so, but to have people come and to be baptized and to say, I want to identify myself with Christ. I am completely sold out, want to be identified with Jesus Christ. And you got to respect and honor that. Amen. So give them another hand clap. I was wanting to, because you just never know what's going to happen when you invite kids up to say stuff. Joshua, do you want to come up and say something? And you said that you wanted to give thanks for a few things. Come on up. I'll give Joshua a hand.
For a roof over my head, and for the most grateful mom and dad, and brother to just be there for me, and that I have food that I can eat, and I have clothes that I can wear, and
when I'm you can find them.
Yeah. And that's it.
All right. Thank you, son. Max or Sam, do you guys want to say what you're thankful for? No? Any other kids who like to say what they're thankful for? Stage fright? What? How about if I came down? Jalen, do you want to say something? Look at her hiding right there. Oh, that's funny. All right, well, let's stand back up. We're going to worship the Lord one more time. Just in a minute. Psalms 116. Verse 12, it says, how can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. How can we repay the Lord for all his goodness for us, that he has done toward us? By fulfilling our vows that we have made to the Lord. By making it public. By proclaiming out loud through your life, through your decisions, through your attitude, through the way you persevere through hard times. We will lift up the name of the Lord in all of our ways. Father, we come before you and we thank you so much for all the testimonies that have gone forth this morning. Thank you for your hand upon their lives. Thank you for what you have done in each and every life here this morning. God, may we forever be thankful for what you have done, for all that you're going to do. God, we are truly blessed. We are truly blessed. Father, forgive us for complaining. Forgive us for doubting. Forgive us for second guessing. Forgive us, Lord, for our unbelief. And Lord, we choose to repay you through gratitude, through thanksgiving. May you be lifted up in our lives, God. Father, we love you so much. You are so wonderful. And we give you praise, my Lord. Father, I pray that because of these testimonies, people in this congregation will be blessed and uplifted, encouraged to continue to follow you faithfully. Because there's power in testimony. There's power in testimony. And there's wonder-working power in gratitude. This morning, I want to testify, along with Dana, how amazingly blessed we are to be your pastor. We love you guys so much. This move to Green Bay has been the best move of our entire lives because God has blessed us so much. Our faith is being rewarded by pastoring you. And I am so thankful for you and your commitment here. I'm so thankful to hear each and every testimony, knowing that Dana and I, in some small part, was able to play a part in your lives. To listen to you overcome, to listen to you grow, to listen to you step out in faith, to watch your marriages be restored, to see you grow, to see you mature, to see you have joy, to get to be part of your lives, to hunt on your land, to do all these different things. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. And I want to say how grateful Dana and I are to be your pastor. We love you so much. We love you guys. Amen. Thank you guys for coming today, and let me pray over you. I want to bless you today because I won't get to see you before Thanksgiving. Have a great Thanksgiving with you and your family. And if some of you guys are dreading being with your family, which some may be the light in your family. Let your attitude reflect the glory of God. Amen. Father, this morning, just raise your hands in the receiving mode. This morning, Lord, as their pastor, as their overseer, as their covering, God, I bless them in Jesus' name. I pray, Father, that your face, your favor, your grace would be upon their lives. I pray, Lord, that as they grow and as they step out, that you would increase their faith. Father, in the valleys, on the mountaintops, in the so-so days, God, may they ever give you praise and learn to give you thanks in all things. Lord, let our lives repay you by our attitude, by our gratitude. Lord, as we lift you up, Father, may people be drawn to you, Father, through us. And Lord, I just bless them on this time of the year during this Thanksgiving season. God, may they increase. May their house prosper. Yeah. Father, may what they've been praying about come to fruition. Lord, we thank you for health and vitality in their homes and in their bodies. Father, we love you and we give you praise this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You guys are dismissed. Amen. You guys hang out, enjoy one another's company. Be blessed.